Welcome to this week's broadcast of Transforming Grace. This is a ministry of the Institute for Biblical Preaching. My name is Roger Pasco, and I'm speaking to you from Canada. We're trusting God to use these messages on this radio station each week to bless you, to encourage you, to build you up in the Lord. We're studying John's Gospel, and today we turn back again, as we did last time, to chapter 8 and verse 12, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." So if you have a Bible there, please turn there so that you can read along with us as we go through this passage. Let's pray together as we start. Lord God, thank you again for your goodness to us since we were together the last time on this program. We thank you for the benefits of a radio program, that we can communicate your message in this way. And we pray for all of those who are listening at their radios at this time, and ask that this might be a good Bible study today that will encourage them, build them up, challenge, and convict. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been studying along with us, you know that right now we're looking at the I Am statements of Jesus as they are recorded in John's Gospel, and there are seven of them. We're looking at the second one. We've already looked at I Am the Bread of Life. We're now looking at I Am the Light of the World, and we started this last week, and we'll complete it today. You may remember that the context is the Feast of the Tabernacles, where the Jewish people remembered and celebrated the passage of the children of Israel through the wilderness, and all the parts of the feast, as I said last time, were symbolic. It was symbolic of the drawing of the water from the well, from the rock in the wilderness. They drew out water in order to represent what had happened to their forefathers in the wilderness when God produced water from the rock. You'll remember that story. And the feast also was symbolic in that they lit lamps to represent the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night that accompanied the people of Israel through the wilderness. And so they celebrated this feast each year in order to never forget the passage of the people of Israel, their forefathers, through that long wilderness journey, and to remember how God protected them, how God guided them, and how God encouraged them through his presence with them in the pillar of cloud and fire. And so we began to see last time that when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he is saying that he is the source, the exclusive source of spiritual light. I am the light of the world. There is no other light for truth and for knowing God than through Jesus himself. Jesus is the source of spiritual light. He is the exclusive source of light, and Jesus is the universal source of light. Why is it universal? Because he says, "I am the light of the world." He's not just the light of the people that he was speaking to, not just the light for Jerusalem, not just the light for Palestine, or the light for the Middle East. No, he's not just the light for Jewish people. He's the light for Gentiles. He is the light of the world. He is the light for all people at all times in history, for all places in the world. I am the light of the world. That's the scope of the light that Jesus is, and that Jesus brought, is the light of the world. "As long as I am in the world," Jesus said in John 9 and verse 5, "I am the light of the world." In John 12 and verse 46, he said, "I am come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Well, those two verses, John 9 and 5 and John 12 and 46, are obviously connected with our verse, John 8 and verse 12. John uses the term world in different ways. And sometimes it could mean the orderly universe or the earth on which we live. Sometimes world refers to the human race, to mankind in general. Sometimes the word world means human beings who are enemies of God, in opposition to God because of sin. And Jesus' statement then is universal in its scope. It applies to the entire universe, to the entire earth, planet. It applies to the entire human race. And it certainly applies to human beings in their animosity or their distance from God because of sin. Jesus' statement then is universal in its scope. John the Baptist testified in chapter 1 and verse 9 that when he came into the world, Jesus was the true light which gives light to every person. His presence lightens every person, gives light to or illuminates every person who comes in contact with him. Most people don't respond favorably to Jesus. They see the light, but they prefer the darkness. And the Bible says in John chapter 3 that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And that's what most people seem to choose. They can see the light, they have exposure to the light of God, but they prefer to stay in their spiritual and moral darkness. Some, through the sovereign grace of God, however, receive the word of God with gladness and obtain everlasting life through Jesus. So Jesus is not only the source of spiritual light, the exclusive source and the universal source of light, but Jesus is the way to spiritual life. The person that you follow is your leader. In whatever context that might be, if you're a student in school, you follow your teacher, they're your leader. In your workplace, you follow your supervisor, your boss, he's your leader. In church, you follow your pastor, he's your leader. To follow a leader means that you trust him, you believe in him. And therefore, those who do not follow Jesus, by not following him, they're saying that they don't trust him, they don't believe in him. In order to follow Jesus, I must come to him. I must come to him in the consciousness of my own spiritual darkness and trust him to lead me to the light. And he leads the way from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. And in so doing, gives us spiritual life. He leads the way from spiritual darkness. Look what it says in our verse, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." So to follow Jesus is personal. He who follows me. It's not a question of following an ideology or a doctrine or a creed or a philosophy or even a theology. But it's a question of following a person, and that person is me, Jesus says. If you follow me, you shall not walk in darkness. This promise, this offer that Jesus is making here, this gift, is not made to those who follow others. It's made to those who do what he does, who follow where he goes, who believe what he teaches, who trust him. To follow him is to walk behind him as our only leader, to submit to him entirely, committing ourselves wholly to him as our Savior and our Lord. That's a big step, isn't it? To make that commitment. To follow him is to join the generations who have followed him in the past and have embraced him as their Savior, who have surrendered to him in obedience to him, and who follow his guidance. Those who follow Jesus will not walk in spiritual darkness. What is this darkness of which Jesus speaks? "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness." What is this darkness? Darkness is the whole condition of human beings who are separated from God. They are in spiritual and moral darkness. In other words, they do not have the light that Jesus is offering because they have not come to him, they've not received him, they've not believed in him, and so they continue to live in spiritual darkness. They don't know the way. They don't know the way to God. They don't know the truth about God. They don't know the way of eternal life. They've not embraced it because they haven't come to the light of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Many people don't follow Jesus Christ because they prefer their darkness. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that ruler of the Jews, in John chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, "He who believes in him," that is in God and in his Son, "is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Nicodemus is an example in John chapter 3 of one following Jesus out of darkness into the light. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 is still in darkness. He hasn't made the commitment yet to Jesus. He has not even understood the truth yet as it is in Jesus. But at least he's made the very first step. He has come to Jesus. That's what verse 1 says of John 3. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night." Now, evidently in coming at night, he didn't want other people to know that he was coming to Jesus, because he may have lost his position as ruler of the Jews if they knew that he was consulting Jesus or even thinking about following Jesus. Or perhaps he came by night because he was ashamed to be identified with Jesus. In any event, he was still in the night of his own soul, if you will. He was still in spiritual darkness, but evidently Nicodemus was searching for the true light. He wanted to know more. He obviously didn't have peace and joy and forgiveness in his life. And so he came to Jesus to ask him questions about that, about spiritual truth. So Nicodemus is an example of one following Jesus out of the darkness into the light. And ultimately in John's Gospel, we find Nicodemus fully identified with Jesus, fully following Jesus. You remember he went with Joseph of Arimathea, and together the two of them took Jesus' body down from the cross in full view of everybody. He wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't trying to hide in the cover of night anymore. And Nicodemus and Joseph took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in those cloths with the spices that they had brought, and put it in that tomb where they laid him. Well, to follow Jesus is to be delivered from spiritual darkness. To follow Jesus is to be delivered from the darkness of ignorance, that darkness of not knowing God. To follow Jesus is to be delivered from the darkness of doubt, the darkness of our own uncertainties and questions. To follow Jesus is to be delivered from the darkness of sin, the sin of walking in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the sin of walking in rebellion against God because we want to do our own thing and not be obedient to God. To follow Jesus is to be delivered from the darkness of death, the darkness of eternity without Christ. Can you think of anything more bleak? Can you think of any future more hopeless? Can you think of anything more dark than facing eternity without Jesus Christ? And I hope that everyone who is listening to this program today is not walking in darkness. He who follows me, Jesus says, shall not walk in darkness. If you don't know the way to eternal life, if you don't know the truth about God and who you are in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, if you don't know the truth of having your sins forgiven through the death and the shed blood of Christ, then according to the Bible, you're not following Jesus and you are walking in darkness. That is a horrible future. That is a horrible way to live life. That brings such despair, such spiritual darkness, such hopelessness, because you have no future, you have no hope, you have no eternal security. You can have that today through the person of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus leads the way then from spiritual darkness, and Jesus leads the way to spiritual light and life. He who follows me shall have the light of life. To follow Jesus Christ is to have the light of life. It isn't merely to walk in the light, but to have it. Whoever follows Christ will possess the light and be a source of light yourself. He or she will see the way to heaven and point others there too. As Jesus said in John 7 and verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." In other words, spiritual truth will flow out of you if you are following Jesus, because you have the light of life. That light will shine out of you so that others can see that you are a Christian. When they see that light, they'll come to you and ask you what it's all about. Light, you see, is fundamental to life. God said in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, "Let there be light." That was the event that took place prior to all of the rest of life on this earth. Light came first. Not the creation of a human being, but the creation of light. Spiritual light is also fundamental to spiritual life. "In him was life," John 1 and verse 4 says, "and the life was the light of men." Light and life both have the same source in Jesus Christ. They are one in their nature. The light is the life, and the life is the light. The light of God gives you spiritual and eternal life, and the life that you have from God is the light that is in you shining out, not only showing you the way, but also the way for others. Whoever has the light of God has the life of God. Not only are our outward lives illuminated from without, in other words, from outside of us, but our inward being is filled with the light of life. God, you see, illuminates our being. He gives us this light. He shines into our hearts, the Bible says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He shines his truth into us from outside so that we have the spiritual light, that we can see the truth, and then our inward being is filled with the light of life. Everyone who follows Jesus Christ receives the light which gives life. And when we follow Christ, he takes up his residence within us. He is our light. His life is our life. Though he is the light of the world, it is only the one who follows him to whom he gives the light of life. In other words, the light of the truth, as it is in Jesus, beams out to the whole world through the gospel, through the truth that is in Jesus and that is contained in his word. That goes out to the whole world, to whosoever will. But it's only the one who follows him, only the one who is his disciple, only the one who has committed his life to Jesus, to whom he gives the light of life. When you have trusted and loved and followed him, he is our light and he is our life. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says this, "You who were sometimes darkness are now light in the Lord." He's speaking to people who, prior to their conversion to Christ, prior to their salvation, not only lived in darkness, but they were darkness. They had no light to give out to others. They had no truth to share with others. They were absolute darkness. But now, in Christ Jesus, they are light in the Lord. That's a wonderful truth for all of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that we no longer live in darkness, we no longer are the cause of darkness to those around us, but we have the light of Christ in us. We are the light in the Lord, and we beam that light of truth in a dark world. Therefore, what I'm saying to all of you who are listening to me today, choose light, not darkness. Choose understanding, not ignorance. Choose Jesus Christ, not Satan. Choose heaven, not hell. And by choosing Jesus Christ, you will share in the inheritance of the saints in light, Paul says in Colossians 1 and verse 12. By choosing him, we are delivered from the power of darkness, and we are translated or conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Colossians 1 and verse 13 says. By choosing him, we become sons of light and sons of the day, not sons of the night nor of darkness, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5 says. By choosing Jesus, we become a people who declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And by choosing him, we put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, Romans 13, verses 11 to 13 tell us. Well, light that is rejected brings night. Just as if you turn off the electric light switch, in other words, you've rejected the light, that brings darkness. And so it is in spiritual truth as well. If you reject the light of Christ, it'll bring you spiritual night and darkness. Darkness cannot exist in the same environment as spiritual light. Darkness cannot coexist in God's presence, for God is light, and in him, the Bible says, there is no darkness at all. Those who belong to Jesus Christ are the light of the world. We represent him. We manifest his light in a dark world. That light that he has beamed into our hearts flows out of us. We manifest that to the world. We're different than the world is. And we speak differently. We act differently. We think differently. We have different hopes, different objectives. We become the window through whom others can see Jesus if we keep our lamps clean and bright. Well, what sort of light are you showing in your life? Is your lamp set on a hill where everyone can see it? Does everybody around you know that you are a Christian because they can see the light that beams from you? They can see that you are different, that your whole purpose in life is different. The way you speak and think and act is different. The way you relate to them is different. Can they, through you, see Jesus because you look like him? You sound like him? To use Jesus' illustration in the Sermon on the Mount, is your light covered under a bowl so nobody can see it, or is it set high on a lampstand? Do you so shine that others see your good deeds and give praise to God? If you follow him, you'll find the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If you turn away from him, you'll stay in the darkness of ignorance and sin and distance from God. You'll continue to live a life of despair, without hope and without God in the world. But if you follow him, you'll have the light of life. You'll have eternal life. And the truth of God will shine out from you. How is it in your life today? Well, may God use this little message today to encourage and challenge and convict you as to how you're living your life for the Lord Jesus. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, may God bless you until we're together the next time on this program.